Adelaide Tools massive Paraka car park sale this weekend. All the big brands on sale. AdelaideTools.com.au.
Oh, g'day, Roo. The mornings are just getting a little bit Piccadilly, aren't they?
Yeah, a little bit different, a little bit fresh, a little bit of rain around, a bit of cold weather. So, the seasons are changing at the moment, Dits, which is just about spot on, too. I've just about had a guts full of summer and the hot weather. So, we have got a big show, though, to get into today.
I like Dits. Tuesdays, Roo. The Angels come in.
Yes, they do, and so does Tex, and we need to have a chat to Tex whether it was just a once-off or whether Crows supporters should be concerned. I know they are very concerned at the moment. I'm a little bit worried.
I bet you're getting stopped everywhere, people asking you, what happened, Roo? What
went wrong? It's not good enough. Will Anderson will join us. He'll be up and about after the Bulldogs had a win. We've got the Press Test where you can win some cash as well. So,
hey, Roo, can I ask you a little bit later on? I want to take some calls on this. How difficult is it now running a pub with your menu? Because once upon a time, I could go to any hotel in the land and I either wanted fish or a porterhouse steak or a,
a burger. A lot more basic.
Schnitzel. Gee, now, how many different menus do you have to have for vegans and gluten-free and...
Seniors.
Yeah, all of that.
Yeah, there's plenty there. And then
I'll tell you why I raise this.
Then you can go over to the bar, Dits.
Yeah.
And you can get a million different drinks behind the bar.
Well, there's been a massive complaint in Sydney. We'll tell you about this a little bit later on. Roo and Dits on Triple M.
Roo and Dits, top three things you need to know.
Making news right around the world, Roo. Now, Scott Morrison, our Prime Minister, has come out and said he wants new laws that would put tech giants' executives perhaps behind bars if they were to leave harmful material on online forums. And this goes back to the Christchurch situation where we're told that that terrible video was left up for far too long and people were able to see just horrific scenes. But you and I have talked about honesty with social media for, I reckon we've led the charge, Roo. We've been all over
banging on about it for long enough.
And I heard then Aaron Phillips came out last week and said the same about trolls. We know the terrible situation with Charlotte Dawson, who took her own life, the TV personality, and on it goes. But I'm glad now that someone as high up as our Prime Minister is suggesting we need to get tougher on this.
Yeah, well, he's meeting with all the bosses of all the social media platforms in Brisbane today, and he wants to get them to help him draft new laws so it'll make the companies fine substantially. And, yeah, as you said, the executives go to jail. That he just doesn't want it to be and a way that terrorists can use it to benefit them.
Yeah. So, but Roo, someone laughed at me here online last week when I mentioned China. Now, we don't want to be like China where there's no freedom of speech or you're not allowed to do things. The point I was trying to make about China
just
is that
accountability. That's
a government can actually dictate what goes on your social media platforms. Now, I don't want to get to that. I'm not saying that. I wasn't trying to compare us to China, so I hope we do it like they do. The point I'm trying to make, Roo, is yes, a government can actually control certain things if they want to.
They should.
In this area. And I'm thinking that
they haven't done their job at the moment. They have not kept up with the change in the world.
Yeah.
That's why that happened last week. Mm. If that act, why do we wait until things happen before we do it? Are there more important things in life? Is that what they think? Or, you know, this was always a chance of happening. And still to this day yesterday, AFL players getting racially abused on fake accounts on social media.
Yep, which should
just
be
about
shut down
every single weekend. Yep. Taylor Harris last week was more of a sexual abuse. This one was racial abuse to an Indigenous player from West Coast.
Have you read what Nick Kyrgios has copped overnight?
Once again, more racial abuse.
Unbelievable. Now, you know, I know he's not our most popular sports person. He's not my favourite. However,
doesn't mean you
what
can
was
do
written
that
about him overnight. You should. Well, I won't urge people to go online and find it.
Yeah.
It's actually it's disgraceful.
Yeah. That's what happened with Taylor Harris last week.
Yeah.
There was heaps of derogatory comments, which just. Yeah, you just beggars belief how people could even think of doing it.
Now, Roo, Robert Wagner has been in the news for the last few weeks. He's appealing against his sentence.
Who's Robert Wagner?
So he's one of the Snowtown Body in the Barrels murderers, right? And he's come out and said that he wants to be released at some stage because he's got a 21-year-old son. He'd like to spend time with him eventually.
Gee.
Now, they basically threw away the key with him and his cohorts and said, you've got 10 consecutive life sentences, you won't be getting out.
Mm-hmm.
He's come out now and said, well, it's not fair because Robert von Einem, and he's named a couple of other notorious murderers. He said, well, they've been given non-parole periods. And when he said that yesterday, when it was said yesterday, I thought that's not quite right. I I'm going from memory here. Didn't Mike Rann, as Premier at the time, say, Von Einem will never, ever be released?
Throw away the key.
Do you remember that or not?
I think I do.
So if Robert Wagner's using that sort of precedent, I think he's wrong, actually.
Mm. Yeah, not sure dits on that. A bit different.
No, don't quote me on it. And I see where George Pell, who's now spent a week or two behind bars, his neighbours aren't too flash. His neighbours aren't great. In one cell on the left of him, he's got a notorious murderer who apparently talks to him all night and just keeps him awake, which he's not happy about. Talks under the door, he does.
Oh,
and
no.
On the other side, he's got
two
terrorist brothers. I don't know if he thought he was going to retirement village or what, but it's not meant to be that good in there.
Oh, no. He's getting a bit back, is he?
Yeah. Look. Anyway, I don't laugh at George.
No, I'm not laughing at
George. I hope he gets a good night's sleep.
Oh, bad neighbours.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Where is he? What slam is he in? Pentridge?
No, Pentridge is closed. That closed down years ago.
Mm. Really?
Yeah, it hasn't been around for ages. Yeah.
Right.
So I'm not sure where he is, but it's not Flash.
Okay.
All right. That's what's making news. Ruined. It's on Triple M.
Oh, Big Red Cat went crazy with the new perfume. Let's have a listen to this.
Former world squash champion Chris Didmar is the Big Red Cat. And look what he just dragged in. Big Red Cat, the new fragrance for men. They've masterfully combined Sauvignon Blanc with the odorous secretion from Africa's most virile large cats. It'll blow her whiskers off. Sink your claws into Big Red Cat, and she will be playing with your balls of wool in no time. The new fragrance for men from Chris Didmar.
Are you trivialising my brand?
No, I'm not. I was just about to say it's easy to understand how that sold out in record time. Well, as we know, yesterday there was part two of this. The Big Red Cat undies have been released. Up next.
Ruined. It's here on Triple M. I think everyone in Australia had that album, didn't they? Hey, the 10 to 1. How good was that? Rue, we're running really late here. It's time to get to the news.
We'll keep it short because your perfume sold out and now your Big Red Cat undies. There's something sexual about you, Dits, with the products that you're selling at the moment. Fancy that.
You've heard of the Big Red Cat fragrance developed by former world squash champion Chris Didmar. Now the cat is well and truly out of the bag in the Big Red Cat range as we present Big Red Cat Underwear. Made from the finest polyester, these Reg Grundies come in all sizes, from kitten to fat cat. Designed for prowling the squash court or just prowling around the bedroom, throw on your Big Red Cat undies and she won't be able to keep her paws off your scratching pole. High-performance cats need room to move. That's why Big Red Cat underwear is super stretchy, leaving plenty of space for your Big Red Rocket. Big Red Cat underwear is fart-proof, shark-proof, crab-proof, wedgie-proof, sweat-proof, and for those big brown accidents, skid-mark-proof. The only streaks you'll see are winning streaks. Available in leopard print, tiger stripes, and if you really want to make her purr under the hood, crotchless. Get your claws around Big Red Cat underwear. Available now at participating retailers.
Good finish.
It's had nothing to do with that.
You've had everything. You pushed him and pushed him to make that. But that'll sell out. Yeah. I see a role for him, Dits.
Righto.
All right. Good stuff. Oh, Port Adelaide are made a pack, Dits, straight after the games, leaving their phones away for an hour or so just so they can share in the victory and share in the moment. I like the sound of that because that would be annoying if you've had... The best part about winning football, Dits, is the 24 hours after a game and even more so straight after the game when you're absolutely stuffed and you're sitting around looking in to each other and just sharing the fun and sharing in the stories that went out in the game. So if you've got pet players sitting down in their own little world and replying to text messages and looking at stuff online, surely that detracts from the moment
not engaged,
why you're out in and having fun in victory.
Meanwhile, co-captain Tom Jonas got a $2,000 fine for an off-the-ball collision with Max Gawn.
Can I just say something about that? The AFL have been talking about trying to clean up all these off-the-play incidents. I'll just say, and I love Tommy Jonas, and I love what Port Adelaide did to Max Gawn on the weekend because they beat him up and they beat him fair and square. He's very lucky, Tommy Jonas. Showed it on AFL on the couch last night. It was off the ball and it dropped him.
The Crows, quite a few options for your injured players. You've got Andy Otten, Kyle Hardigan, Darcy Fogarty, Jake Kelly, all ready to come in. Richard Douglas faces further scans today on that ankle sprain. Bryce Gibbs was cited for careless contact with an umpire.
Yeah,
and Matt Crouch for an incident involving Jared Ruffett as well. $1,000 fines on the table.
Yep.
Alex Rance has his knee reconstruction today. Did you hear him speak on the weekend?
Yeah, it was
one of the most impressive
positive things
I've ever heard.
Yeah, very, very impressive.
Just quickly, what he said was, I'm trying to find the ground.
It's only an injury. I'll recover.
He said, I have a great life. He said, yeah, I've hurt my knee. He said, but gee, what a great life I have, and I'll look forward to watching the footy this year. Like, it was so refreshing to hear him speak.
Yep.
Amazing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that is our look at sport, Roog. Who are we doing sport for this week? This is a bit. Oh, this is why it passed me by. It's for the Crows. It's for the Crows tickets for round 3 against Geelong.
Oh, Thursday night footy at Adelaide Oval, if you don't mind. Getting quick for that one.
Yep. Go to tickertech.com.au. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Ruin Dits here on Triple M.
Ruin Dits. Top 3 things you need to know.
Oh, making news on this Tuesday morning, Roo. Privatisation. Now, every time I hear this word, I shudder. I can't think personally, and correct me if I'm wrong, I can't think of a successful privatisation in my lifetime. Mm. And I'm talking about utilities. We know the situation with our power. Surely, I would have thought we could have kept a lid on our power prices if we still owned our power, our electricity. That's one score.
The government decided to shut down the coal power station. They didn't. In the end, they didn't help them. That's what sent prices through the roof.
The TAB was a disgraceful privatisation.
It was a mistake.
Undersold. It was a mistake. It was sold far too cheaply, and in fact, the mob got their money back, they reckon, in the first 3 months, which is just embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
Can you think of any good privatisations?
No, I don't, to be honest. I can't think of it, but I can think of plenty where the government have owned things and stuffed it up.
Right, yeah. They're probably not always
great. If you look at the healthcare, look at the Adelaide Hospital, Royal Adelaide Hospital at the moment.
Mm-hmm. So this is what
I don't think they always do it better.
No, maybe not always, but there's just a worldwide thought that you don't sell your utilities, you keep control of them.
Yep.
And I think we're suffering as a result, but that's only me.
You do on Monopoly, don't you?
Yeah. Privatising SA Pathology. Are you a good Monopoly player?
I used to be okay.
I reckon you'd be brilliant at it.
No.
You'd end up with a few hotels.
Yeah.
Privatising SA Pathology is on the cards right now. And in fact, it looks like it's going to happen. But one of the main professors involved in pathology here says it would be... it would be a big, big mistake. So, as I said, look, just whenever I read the word privatisation, I don't know. I worry about it. So, our Health Minister, Stephen Wade, wants to sell off part of SA Health by the look of it.
Right.
Which I'm not sure.
Well, he's dealing with all the mess he's been handballed at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's leading to big decisions on regional hospitals and other areas as well, which we've read about down at Keith at the moment. There's a big issue down there with trying to keep that hospital open.
Yeah, a lot of regional hospitals are suffering, but we know the RAH is hundreds of millions overspent as well. Anyway, it goes on and on, doesn't it?
Yep.
We'll privatisation fix all of that. Now, social media, Roo, what's happening there?
Well, social media is just always in the news at the moment, but most of the time for the wrong reasons. And again, last week we had the Taylor Harris, the AFLW Carlton girl who's going to be playing the grand final this week, who took a sensational mark on the weekend and played very well for Carlton. We should be celebrating her doing the great things in football, but last week she was basically sexually abused, if you call it that, or sexually assaulted, if that's the better term, for derogatory comments about her kicking technique. Well, on the weekend again, just about every weekend it's happening, Indigenous players getting abused online under fake accounts, which just, you know, calling them monkeys and where'd you come from, the zoo, and all this sort of absolute garbage. That one's actually not a fake name. One is a fake name, which I can't even read it out because the fake name is racist as well.
Mm.
It's unbelievable. I don't know. I don't know how to say it, but they can't be thinking straight, or they can't have half a brain, if at all, in their head to even come up with the things they're saying about it. And I don't know how we can get on top of it, because it's happening every week. We expose them, Dits. The AFL expose them. And the banana thrower here in Adelaide actually spoke to them,
yeah,
counselled them. tried to get them to understand it, because you're not born a racist, are you? I don't think you learn it. It's a thing you learn, whether it's ingrained from your parents or your environment that you grow up in.
It's a decision you make at some stage.
Yeah, so that's going from bad to worse too.
Just related to that, Scott Morrison, the Prime Minister, wants to get tougher on the tech giants, and this is on the back of what happened in Christchurch last week, and he's saying that because that video stayed up online far too long, he wants people held accountable for that, and in fact jailed. So these two things are connected in a way, I think. Trolls, people that are nameless and faceless that say and do terrible derogatory things, should be named and shamed, and maybe in extreme cases jailed.
It's too late. Well, it's not too late. They should have done it earlier, but at least they're doing something about it now. And Egg Boy has come out and spoken as well on why he chose to smack an egg on Fraser Anning's
head. After that tragedy in Christchurch, I thought the world should be supporting all those victims with giving them love and passion. And the Senator released a statement which was pretty much a divisive hate speech, blaming the victims for the attack, which empowered me to egg him. I don't know much about politics at all. You know, I'm not pro any specific religion. I'm just pro humanity, you know.
Now, he actually spoke really well. Will Connolly's his name, 17-year-old. Look, I didn't like what he did. When I saw it, I thought it was pretty bad. But having heard him speak last night, I think that was on the project, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
He spoke really well, very articulate, and he's got his reasons. And who are we to judge in the sense that everyone's got their right to stand up for their own beliefs? And as he says there, he's talking about humanity. It's not about politics or religion. He wants the whole world to get along. So,
well, we all do. I think he's a goose for what he did, though.
Yeah.
Absolute goose.
Yep.
And why did he do it? Why did he film it? What was he trying to get out of that? He's trying to
notoriety.
Nest. Yeah, is that exactly what he's doing? So, a big mistake, I think.
All right, that's what's making news this morning on this Tuesday. Ruined, it's on Triple M.
104.7 Triple M. Ruined, it's $1,000 pressure test.
Need a car service or repair? ZipPay is now available at Automasters, giving you the option to fix now and pay later. Over 20 branches. Call 1-300-AUTOMASTERS.
You can't handle the pressure.
Yes, can you handle the pressure? Who you got there, Roo?
I've got Joel from Hope Valley. G'day, Joel.
How you going, Tom?
I hope you can win $1,000 today, Joel. What are you up to?
I'm just heading down to the Wollonga Footy Club.
What are you doing at the Wollonga Footy Club?
They're doing a new grandstand there.
At Wollonga? How many is it going to be able to hold?
I'm not too sure. It's the change rooms and there's a bit of grandstand there, but not too sure at the moment.
What's your role in it all, Joel? What do you do?
We're doing the formwork down there.
The formwork on the concrete?
Yeah, the suspended slabs and all that.
Good on you, mate.
Well done.
Good stuff. Well, hopefully the rain holds off for you and you can get a bit of work done.
Hopefully. End up in the Wollonga pub.
You might spend the day having a schnitzel, who knows?
Yes.
Hey, if you want to win $1,000 cash, Joel, you got to get 10 correct answers in 30 seconds. You're going to need to turn your brain on a little bit for this one.
Ooh.
All right? Give us 10 cities that don't have the letter A in it.
Sydney, Melbourne, Perth.
Did you say Tokyo?
Hong Kong.
Rome,
good.
Venice.
Yeah, Venice.
Sicily. Turin.
Turin, yep.
You're obviously Italian.
Oh, good effort though, Joel.
Yeah,
well done.
It was a tough one, Joel. Tough one, mate.
Thanks a lot.
All right. That's all right, buddy. Got a prize for him?
Yeah, good. Have a good day down at Wollonga. We've got a $50 voucher to go to Automasters for your next service. And just a reminder, you can zip pay now at Automasters, 1300 Automasters.
We've got Koshy coming on shortly, Dits.
Yeah, we have. He's pretty happy at the moment.
Oh, he would be happy. We're having a chat to David Koshy about the footy.
He didn't ring him. He rang us. Said, can I come on? 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M ruined. It's for breakfast, Roo. This man would be very, very happy at the moment.
Well, of course he would be. Hey? And so he should. I don't know if he's as happy as what Ken is, who said it was his biggest win of his career at Port Adelaide. But anyway, let's find out. David Koch, the chairman. Good morning, Koshy.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Oh, your red wine would have tasted just beautiful on Saturday night, wouldn't it, in Melbourne?
The flight home to Sydney is always a bit happier after a win, and a good win like that as well, which is good. Guys showed a lot of courage and a lot of confidence, which is a good sign. Only round one, though.
Yeah, it is. Only round one. And I would have thought a little bit of nervousness. I mean, me as a supporter, I was nervous. You see these young boys run out for their first game. There were four of them. And, gee, they just applied themselves magnificently, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, they did. But that first 15 or 20 minutes, because I caught up with Xavier Desra and Zach Butters in the change rooms after, and Xavier, who is such a good kid, was saying I couldn't hold a ball, even in the warm-up. I was so nervous, to think, here I was, AFL debut on the MCG. He said it was just nerve-wracking. So for them to get a bit of composure after those early nerves was pretty rewarding. He's a good kid. You'll love this. His mum owns a dance studio in the Gippsland region of Victoria, and he's quite an accomplished tap and ballet dancer.
Who are you talking about? Is Xavier Desma?
Yeah. And he said, when I first met him on draft, I said, well, you can tell the boys in your own time that you're a ballet dancer. And he said, no, it's so good for my balance and my core. It's been fabulous, and it's just part of the football.
We've recruited Fred Astaire. It's unbelievable.
Gosh, you've been accused of saying a bit too much sometimes. I think Xavier Desma might have a cracky about letting everyone know he's a tap dancer. That has definitely got legs.
We might enter him in Australia's Got Talent as well.
Poor Adelaide's Got Talent, no doubt about that.
Exactly.
Hey, can I ask you a personal question, Koshy? Yep. How do you find everything you've done in the business world and media and the scrutiny that you've dealt with that, how do you compare that to what you get in the world of AFL football, the stresses that come with being a chairman of a club like Port Adelaide?
And particularly in a two-team town as well, is a real hothouse. And I think it's one of the advantages of me sort of being based in Sydney, I think. You can get away from it all. And when you see the club getting caught up in whatever the hysteria of the day is to say, hey, we have a plan here. We're going to stick to it. We're not going to go away. Forget all the buzz and the white noise around you. We have a plan. We're confident in the plan. Let's stick to it. So, but
do you find it challenging though? Do you find it stressful, with the wins absolutely. And losses and the profit and the loss and you dealing with
absolutely.
The coach and the fans?
I'm sitting up in the stand when you don't make finals thinking, oh, that's cost us $500,000.
What were you thinking at the 20-minute mark of the first quarter?
Yeah. That's right. So someone once said to me, being a president is like being the pig in a bacon and egg roll. The chook has a passing interest, the pig's committed. And you ride every game. It's so, I used to love watching Port Adelaide and going to the football. Now it is so stressful, but I think sometimes, why am I putting myself through this? But then you look at the club, and what it does, and the community and our community work, and they're very special places. Good things come out of footy clubs that I don't think we recognise enough. Like, you know, the Crows community programs, our community programs, how we change young lives around for the better is part of the magic and why you do it.
Koshy, thanks for joining us. Off to a great start and need to frank that win, if we use that terminology, by beating Carlton well here this weekend.
Certainly do. Thank you, guys.
On your Koshy. David Kosh, Chairman, President of Port Adelaide.
Ruin Dits for breakfast. Distinctive homes. Perfect for your lifestyle. Our house. Your home. It's Crows co-captain, Tex Walker.
Let's talk about Tex. Let's talk about Tex.
Oh, good morning, Tex.
Good morning, Dits, Roo. How are you?
Good. Just starting to get over a bloody bad weekend, Big Tex. What the hell happened out there?
Disappointing. It was a tricky game, Roo, because we won a fair few stats, won our contested ball and tackle numbers, which we we love to win.
That's the good start.
I think we won inside 50s as well.
We had 58 inside 50s. That's more than enough to keep a winning score.
So usually you come in here and I'd be talking about having a win, but I think our execution going forward was poor. And our ability to lock it in our forward half and take marks. I think they had 12 intercept marks in our forward 50. So it was a disappointing way to start the year in no other terms, really.
How come it took until the last quarter for the back line and the side to have some courage to take the game on? Is it just because, you know, you got no other option? If you're going to win the game, you have to. But why couldn't they do it in the second or third quarters? Was it confidence because they made a few mistakes early, or what was it?
No, we, at three-quarter time, we said, well, we're going to have to try and win the game. And we thought we'd try and play like that. But it's a great question because I'd love to play like that for the first three quarters and play some brave, exciting footy, which we know we can play. So we'll definitely, we had our review yesterday and that's something to come out of it. So we'll be going forward. We've got 22 more rounds, so we'll definitely put that in our repertoire and try and play some learn from footy dits.
There's some sides that you have bogey sides in the AFL, and every team's got one. Hawthorn is 10 out of the last 11 times you've haven't beaten them, so I'd ask you why is that. And then secondly, you have a very, very good record against Sydney in Sydney.
Yeah, well, I actually didn't know that. Hawthorn are a very good side. That Clarkson got them well drilled and they play to their system really well, and it just seems to me, what is it, 10 out of 11 they've beat us?
Yep.
Oh well, stats say that we can't beat them at the moment.
You haven't beaten them in Adelaide Oval. You haven't beaten them there yet.
Do we play them again this year?
No, at Adelaide you won't. Okay. But you might play them in Melbourne again.
I asked Roo earlier in the week, or yesterday I suppose it was, the sides that went all the way in September, or a long way in September last year, have struggled. Have you read anything into that when you looked at the results over the weekend?
We didn't go into September.
No, but all the others, though, that have.
West Coast,
a lot of upsets over the weekend.
Collingwood.
Well,
Melbourne.
Speaking on behalf of us, last year we struggled early on too because we didn't get enough pre-season in. We didn't have enough healthy players. So clubs now might be in that situation, but that was us in 2018 and we just weren't able to get the bus rolling. So certainly it was a bit of a hiccup for us on the weekend, but we'll certainly be looking forward to going up to Sydney, and we match up well against them and we're going to play some really brave footy.
All right. Tex, are you concerned in some games, as the Crows, that if it doesn't go right for you at the start of the game, you haven't got the ability to turn it, change it? Like on the weekend, everyone was just waiting for you to do something different and the same thing happened for the rest of the game. You're not worried about that?
No, not at all. No.
It does happen a little bit.
Does it?
Yeah, I reckon it does.
No, I'm not too worried about it.
Not worried about it?
No.
All right, I've had two ex-Crows people say to me yesterday who really know. One of them's an ex-coach, actually, and one's an ex-captain, who both have a theory, and it's a real generalisation, but whenever the Crows have got all of this massive hype around them and all the hype before the game, the build-up was that Crows will win, they're favourites, they'll just win, you know, they'll just turn up and win. For some reason, what these two people have said to me is that's when the Crows don't win. Is there anything into that? Is there a mental side in the change room that...
We never really talk about like that.
No. So it's garbage.
I wouldn't... That everyone's entitled to their opinion.
I'm being serious because a coach and an ex-captain to say the same thing separately, they just have a belief that in this town, all of the hype and Crows are on the front page, back page, and we're just going to win, you know, as a collective, going to win, and then it doesn't happen.
I'm not too sure. I'm not sure how to answer that, but what I will say is that competition is so tight. Like you said, Brisbane beating West Coast up there quite convincingly, and Freo got off to a really good start. Like your tips... It's bloody hard to tip games of footy now. I'm in the tips at the AMRA and I don't think I would have got one or maybe two this week.
Yeah, it was hard.
So you just have to be on your game. Otherwise, if you're slightly off, I've said it for the last two or three years now, if you're 10 to 15% off, good luck.
Just to both of you, you know about the new rules, the 6 and 6-6. interestingly, only Fremantle kicked a real big score, didn't they?
Yeah, only two sides out of 18 that scored over 100.
Yeah.
Brisbane was the lowest scoring round in 54 years, first round.
Well, there you
54
go.
54 years.
But no, it was because it was the most inaccurate round in a long time as well. They had more scoring shot last year, but just didn't kick straight. Kicked it 40% AFL clubs did on the weekend.
So what did you take out of it, Tex?
out of the game on the week?
No, that, all of that, the rules. Fact that I've just said that, yeah, it was low scoring. Well, it was meant to promote attacking footy, according to the AFL.
Put more players in the forward 50, so it was more congested. That's what, one theory at the moment.
Yeah, but you didn't have numbers behind the ball, though.
Yeah, but when you think about it, if you don't get a direct centre clearance,
yeah,
then it's just pretty much same as usual, really. Because
when the game's
because you've only got three to five seconds from the centre clearance mm-hmm. to get it one way, and then it's just normal. You can
right.
set up the way you want to, stoppages, you can play the way you want to.
So it's really just that initial kick into the forward 50, and then after that, it goes back to the same.
It goes back to pretty much normal. You can play, you can go and play a man behind the ball, or you can play two men behind the ball. You can do whatever you want.
Mm. All right, fair enough. More with Tex Walker in just a moment here on Triple M.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. Distinctive Homes. Perfect for your lifestyle. Our house, your home.
Here's Texan!
Close co-captain, Tex Walker.
That's where the Rangers gonna be.
Oh, the Tex!
Oh, yeah, once again, good morning to Tex Walker. Tex, I was reading the goal scores the other day. I see you had 40 points at Glenelg.
I did, yeah, on Sunday.
It's funny, we're only talking about golf cheats a few minutes ago, really.
Oh, Tex,
40 points?
Yeah, well, you get someone else to mark your card, mate. I'd
That
beat the Crouch boys.
Yeah, did you?
Took them down the bay.
Righto. All right, on your home deck.
Stitched them up.
Hey, yesterday on Twitter, Tex, someone put here, G'day, Tex, we've just arrived in Broken Hill. Which is the best pub for a feed? And your reply here was, I'm keen to hear about this, go to the Mulga pub for a meal, Silly Goat for brekkie or lunch, and Silhouette Salon for a haircut, and ask for my mum, Marg. So the Mulga. Tell me about the Mulga.
It's a bloody good pub.
Is that what it's just called, the Mulga Pub?
The Mulga Hill Tavern.
The Mulga Hill Tavern.
It's on the corner of Oxide and William Street as you come into Broken Hill.
Yeah.
It's a very, very good pub, owned by Dean Trengrove.
Right.
Very good beer garden. Got good good little front bar.
Mm-hmm.
Little tote. Nice little tote there. I've cleaned them up a couple of times, Dits.
What's on special at the Silly Goat?
Silly Goat. They're Silly Goat. They're really good friends of my sister's, and they do amazing food, and the coffee there is outstanding.
So that's a restaurant, is it? A cafe?
It's a little cafe, yeah, just on the main strip there. And
mm-hmm. goats are silly, aren't they? For people who don't know much about wild goats there.
How many, do you happen to know the stats, how many hotels in Broken Hill now? Because it used to be an incredible amount.
Yeah, I think back in the heyday it was between 40 and 50. yeah, and then there used to be one on every corner of the main street. The main street's not too big.
So in the big mining days?
Yeah, in the big mining days. But now, I'd say through the 20s, I reckon.
Still enough. You can still get a drink.
Great town, Broken Hill.
Drink.
If people haven't been there, I reckon I like Broken Hill.
Yeah. I remember going to the airport. I think I was coming down here for it, and you and Biggles and who else?
I've been up there stealing your yabbies.
I think you're going pig shooting. Right?
Yeah, my uncle's got a sheep station up there. Love it up at Broken Hill. The gutters up there, if you haven't been there, the gutters are about 2-3 times, probably 4 times as big as the normal gutter here in Adelaide.
Tell you what, I've fallen in them a couple of times.
Because it rains so heavy there, doesn't it? And when it rains, it pours. It actually does.
Now, let's talk a bit of footy. Tom Duday, when does he have surgery?
Yeah, so he'll go in tomorrow, which is really disappointing for Tom, but you can clearly see what sort of character he is after the game, the comments he made, and as he said, he's in a great footy club that can support him all the way, and I think the backs even got him a bit of an Uber voucher so that he can, when he's sitting on his clacker, he can just order Uber and put it all on the backs, which is good. I might try and find out that code so I can use it.
Three ACLs in the AFL on the weekend with Alex Rance and a lad from North Melbourne as well, which is a bit sad. And Brody Smith and yourself can give him a bit of advice on how to deal with that big Texan. It's not good. Will Paul Seedsman play this week, do you think?
I think, yeah, he'll be a good chance. We've got our main session tomorrow, so if he gets through that, then he'll put his hand up.
Yeah, he will put his hand up with his bent finger. What about Richard Douglas? How's his ankle?
I think he's getting some scans today or tomorrow.
So 50-50 for the week?
I wouldn't say 50-50.
You'd say less than that?
Yeah, I'd say less than that.
Less than that, all right.
I reckon the old fella might have a week or two off.
Week or two off doesn't sound too good. What about the racial abuse with AFL players just continues to happen? Is this spoken about inside the footy clubs or even through the Players Association about what can we do different to try and stamp it out? Because people out there aren't learning. They just continue to have a crack at our Indigenous players with just shocking remarks. They're not learning at all, are they?
It's a joke, to be honest. For the boys to be able to have to put up with this crap, which consistently happens
how much
too
does it
often.
Affect them?
Oh, I could tell yesterday just looking at the boys how fed up they are with it. And the problem is people can hide behind their social media accounts, and I wouldn't have thought people would say it to their face because they'd get a fair punch on the nose. But I'm feeling for the boys, and it needs to stop, and we need to do something about it. ASAP is a, not just as a society. Football organisation, but as society.
Yep. Mm. Well done, Tex. Good on you. Now, have you got something for us to finish on?
I was walking the other day just out in the country, and these two donkeys were standing on the roadside, and one said to the other, "Shall we cross?" And the other shakes his head. He said, "No way. Look at what happened to the zebra."
Very good. I like it. Yeah. I'm laughing on the inside. I really
you've had a couple of good jokes, Tex, the last couple of weeks. Keep it up. I like it.
Thanks, Dits.
Good on you.
Thanks,
well done, Roo. Tex.
See you, boys.
8:27 ruined. It's a Roo. The Angels are. It gets from silly to sillier now. The Angels are up next.
Ladies, ruined dits for breakfast on Triple M.
We thought you girls were sugar and spice and all things nice.
Ruined dits, Angels.
Good morning, Angels.
Good morning, ruined dits.
Oh, Alice the Wag, Batesy and Ange. First topic, Roo, you read out the headline a moment ago. What does it say?
Well, it says something about men are useless, and then it's got 33 next to it. What does that mean?
This is Jennifer Lopez has said men are useless before 33, and I'll just quote a couple of things here that she says in this article. Takes men until their early 30s to establish their professional career and feel a sense of financial stability, which will help them feel more secure in life. As a result, this can give them the maturity that comes with the accomplishment, and it goes on and on. What a load of balls.
She only got engaged for the sixth time, didn't
she? So what about girls before they're 33 who just buy clothes every day of their lives and go overseas, and then when you marry them, they haven't got a cent to their name? What about that? Alice the Wag.
I love it. I fully disagree with this. I think it's a load of crap because I think men are useless at any age, even past 30. Because I work with you two dingbats and you're useless and you're definitely, especially fossil over there, you're over 33. You're old.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
That's it. That's all I've got.
I'm not allowed to argue. This is your segment.
I definitely think that men, when they hit 30, I don't know about 33 specifically, but having dated men under 30 and then over 30, there's a huge difference. More so in commitment. They're just a bit more mature, a bit more open to settle down, whereas when they're still in their 20s, they're just out and about and want to be lads a bit more and can't deal with it.
Right.
So commitment-wise, I agree with it.
Righto. Ange. Ange is the more mature one.
Yeah, I don't think you can generalise. Like, everybody's different and, you know, and at your point with the females, like, I agree. Like, you know, when I was 30, I was, you know, I just wanted to spend all my money on clothes and handbags. And met Rob and he's like, "How much money do you have?" I'm like, "I just have a debt, like credit card debt. I don't have any savings." He's like, "Oh my God." So I don't think you can generalize, but yeah, just on your point, Batesy, from maturity thing, I think, yeah, most people though, you know, before their 30s want to, you know, have fun and travel and meet different people and probably aren't ready to settle down unless they've met that, you know, that the special person.
Yeah.
We don't stop making mistakes, do we? maybe a few less mistakes, but we keep making them, don't we?
You speak for yourself. Now, our next topic, the pettiest thing that you've stopped going out with a boy for, or if you only had one date with him and the reason why you didn't go out with him again. Jason from Brighton has emailed us at ruinedits.com.au. He said he can't, what is it, ruined?
Ruindits@triplem.com.
Oh, that's the one.
Jason had it right, Dits.
Yeah. That's right. Jason says he took a girl out 2 weeks ago, went really well. He liked her. The next time he went, he actually picked her up in his car and she came out and looked at his car and said, "Oh, you're kidding. Is that your car?"
Oh, my God.
Anyway, they still went out on the date and she hasn't contacted
him.
And he knows. It doesn't say, but apparently it's because of his car. She's given him the heave-ho, I won't return his calls. Which is a bit shallow, isn't it?
No.
Alice the Wag.
I reckon you can tell a lot about the bloke about what car he drives.
Can you?
If he got a little yellow sort of small
Gemini.
Something
like that, then I wouldn't go out with him.
Either. Alice the Wag, the pettiest reason why you haven't gone out with a bloke again.
I was kind of seeing this guy and then he came to meet me and my friends out at a pub once and we were on the D floor and he, like every dance move I did, he'd copy my dance move.
Mm.
And I just couldn't handle it. It was so weird.
Blokes like me have to do that because we can't dance.
But it's like I start putting my hands up in the air, he starts putting his hands up in the air.
Yeah.
It was so awkward. I just thought I had to leave. It was. I never called him again because I was like, that was the weirdest experience of my life.
Well, if you liked him, just don't dance with him when you go out.
No, that's not a thing.
All right, Batesy.
I have two. Both of them are pretty shallow. I was a lot younger though. But the first one was he was a boxer and he shaved every part of himself from the neck down and he was so smooth and silky and it just made me so self-conscious.
He was too smooth.
I had more hair than he did and I couldn't deal with it. We broke up. And the second one, he was lovely, but he had like a turkey neck. It's where like the neck starts at the
skin,
chin.
Like,
and it just ends at the collarbone. It doesn't like the L shape couldn't cope with it. I'd look at it while we were watching movies and stuff. I just couldn't deal.
Couldn't go out of the turkey neck.
The side profile got me.
Righto, Ange.
Mine was like in high school and there was this guy from another school and he was so hot and we finally like went on a couple of dates and we didn't kiss for like a couple of dates. It's like, what is wrong with this guy? Normally the guys go in for the pash, you know, straight away. Anyway, went about 3-4 dates and then we finally kissed and oh my God, he was the worst kisser ever. It was so disappointing. And my face, I was just like, what? I think it just showed. I was like, what the hell?
Well, he was obviously out of practice.
I couldn't even.
He mustn't have practiced on the pillow.
No, obviously, or his hand.
But there's also
the obvious one. What did you practice on? Tell me.
You use an orange. Yeah, you get right in there in your passion.
Oh, my God, that's so right.
Or you can do a bit of watermelon.
What do you do, like a third of an orange?
Yeah.
You can grab a big piece of watermelon and
swear to God, that, yeah. Right now.
Like the whole thing.
Did you used to practice? Did you seriously?
Oh, my God.
Swear to God. Did you or not?
No.
Swear to God, tell the truth.
He looks
left and down. Yeah. He's guilty. Did they have to be Riverland oranges?
I've never been that fussy, to be honest.
Naval or Valencia.
Angels.
I feel so violated.
It's an oranges. Triple
M. Ruined It.
The show that was.
Now we need to go back in time.
The show that was.
Aru, Tex Walker came in this morning and told us about the Crows' terrible loss on the weekend.
It was a tricky game because we won a fair few stats, won our contested ball and tackle numbers, which we love to win.
That's the good start.
I think we won the inside 50s as well. I think our execution going forward was poor and our ability to lock it in our forward half and take marks. I think they had 12 intercept marks in our forward 50, so it was a disappointing way to start the year.
Sure was. Hopefully they can do something about it Friday night at Sydney. Otherwise, they'll be zipping two. One of those big teams are going to be zipping two, Dits. Hey, we also had Koshy, the president of Port Adelaide, on. And he let a little cat out of the bag here, talking about Xavier Dersma, their new gun youngster.
Quite an accomplished tap and ballet dancer. When I first met him on draft day, I said, well, you can tell the boys in your own time that you're a ballet dancer. And he said, nah, it's so good for my balance and my core. It's been fabulous. And it's just part of the football.
We've recruited Fred Astaire. It's unbelievable.
Gosh, you've been accused of saying a bit too much sometimes. I think Xavier Dersma might have a cracky about letting everyone know he's a tap dancer. That has definitely got legs. And we took calls on cheating, whether it's in sport or life, and we asked people to ring in.
Probably
we shouldn't be doing it on my anniversary, guys, but I'm going to nominate my wife.
Oh, hang on.
Righto.
What's her name, Ben?
Nikki. She'll be listening. She is an absolute shocker, guys, when we play board games at home. She can't be the banker. She can't even sit near the banker because she's nicking money all the time.
Get the fingers in the till.
You go to the toilet and you come back and you're missing a couple of houses on the board.
Nikki. Come on.
How's that going to go out to you tonight?
Classic.
But they did get a double to go and see Kiss, so you got something out of Potney's girlfriend and wife there.
Another good day today, Roo. We'll do it all again tomorrow.
Beautiful. Look forward to it. Have a great day, everybody. It's time to go, my friend. The show's come to a close.
Adelaide Tools massive Paraka car park sale this weekend. All the big brands on sale. AdelaideTools.com.au.